morning we're looking at the second part of being a team player, taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. For our start, our men, brotherhood men, brought the banner back. We hadn't had it for a while, so it's good to have it back. Our men had the numbers there on Monday at Osgood First Baptist, and so we always encourage other men to join and be a part of the good ministry. I'll be reading Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And Paul is telling us how to get in the game. He's telling us to be on Jesus' team, using our gifts and our talents, and to be servants and be proud to do that. It helps us individually to be more motivated, more in tune with Jesus, what he has called us to do. And tells us, just follow along with me as I begin with verse 1, Colossians chapter 3, which says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth." And we have a tendency to do that, don't we? Because we can see it, and it's somewhat gives people security that, you know, surrounded by things and so forth. But the Father says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you." So keep looking above. All right. And in verse 3, "For you have died," and Paul is saying you've died to your sins, okay? You put them, behind you, and God has forgiven you of your sins, so you have died to them, and your life is hidden now with Christ in God. Also look up Philippians 4:8 and read it there as well. And this verse I love, I said that last week, because it tells us that one of these days Christ will be revealed, and we will be revealed with him in glory as well. So when Christ, who is our life, and he is our life, everything to us, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, as we look at being on Jesus' team, being a team player, it's very important to us realize that it is a part, it's an obligation of us, it's a command that we get on God's team, be a team player, and play well. Keep focus, and focusing on things above. Now, as I was thinking about some things in life that we can identify with, I want to share with you about the Pioneer 10. How many of you remember Pioneer 10? You remember that? Back in 1972, you don't remember that? That's a few years back, isn't it? That's back in the era when I was working at the Space Center, so I'm very familiar with a lot of these things that we was doing at that time. But in 1972, NASA, they launched the exploratory space probe, which would have been Pioneer 10. And according to Leon Offutz, the satellite primary mission was to go to Jupiter. And now there's a picture of the Pioneer 10. It's small. I mean, you could almost stand beside it, and it wouldn't be that much taller. If you're 6 foot, 6'2", or 3", that's about the size of it. It's kind of enlarged there. But there's some amazing things about this this probe. Quite amazing. And and its primary purpose was to photograph the planet, Jupiter, the moons around it, and beam this data back to Earth, and to beam back its magnetic field, its radiation belt. It has a radiation belt around it, and they wanted to study more about it and its atmosphere. And scientists regarded this as a bold plan. For at that time on the Earth, the satellite had never gone past Mars. Well, there it is, right there, at right starting to go by Jupiter. But it hadn't gone by Mars yet, and they feared the astro belt would destroy the satellite before it could reach its target. But the Pioneer accomplished this mission, and it reached much, much more, swinging past the giant planet in November of 1973, which is almost a year later. It's a long way. You're talking about billions of miles. And Jupiter emerged. Gravity hurled the Pioneer 10 at a high rate of speed towards the end of the solar system. They never thought it would go past Jupiter, but because of the extreme gravity and everything, it hurled it on past Jupiter, and at a high rate of speed, and at 1 billion miles passed Saturn. There's Saturn. And as 2 billion miles, it also passed Uranus, and then Neptune at nearly 3 billion miles, and then Pluto, which was 4 billion miles away from the Sun. Now, by 1997, 25 years later after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the Sun. Now, and despite that immense distance, I've got a plan here. I'm going somewhere with this. Can you imagine our solar system? God created this wonderful universe, the solar system, and the things that we are able to explore and learn and so forth about it. I mean, it's wonderful. Just go out at night and look up into the skies and see the stars, and try to fathom in our minds how far they are away. Now, and despite this immense distance, the Pioneer continued to beam back radio signals to the scientists on Earth. And perhaps most remarkable, according to Jarov's his documentation on this, those signals emanate from eight watt transmitter. Now, if you can fathom an 8 watt transmitter, that's not very much, is it? Which would take at least 9 hours to send a signal from the probe back to Earth. 9 hours, okay? You're talking about billions of miles away. Now, this little satellite that could not qualify, and see, they only designed this probe probably to last or send signals back for maybe 3 years. But it went much, much more. It did much, much more than that, but it kept on going and going and going and going, just like the Energizer Bunny. You know, you've seen the commercial on the Energizer Bunny, but it kept on going. By the simple longevity, its tiny watt transmitter accomplished more than anyone thought possible. Now, this is where I'm going. So it's when we offer ourselves to the Lord in service. Okay, you think about that. God can work even through someone with a 8-watt ability. We might think we don't have much ability, but God has given us ability to do mighty, extraordinary things for Him. Now, if this probe, billion miles with 8-watt capabilities, send messages back to Earth, maybe taking nine hours just to send one signal, imagine what we can do, even if we're an 8-watt ability person, that you might think, but God sees us much more capable of doing things like that. How much more can we do for the Lord? And if you should turn over and read Philippians chapter 2, starting around verse 12 through 14, Paul says, I haven't even accomplished what I've set out to be, but I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to do more and more and more. And if you read Hebrews 12:1, it gives you a similar idea of this. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, where Jesus is telling us that we are capable of doing mighty things for Him. Now, we are to serve the Lord. We are to serve. You know, nothing better than serving the Lord, because He has gifted us, He loves us, and He cares for us. And as we love Jesus and want to do all that we can do while we're on this earth, and one of these days we will supersede all of these planets, wherever heaven is, out there somewhere, we're singing, Oh, I Love Jesus. That song this morning goes along with what we're talking about this morning, that we are to be serving. So this morning, I want us to look at the last two emphases about being a team player. Last week we talked about a focused mission. This morning we're going to talk about having a focused mind on verse 2. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things on earth. Now, there is a slight difference between this verse and a thought in verse 1, which deals with seeking heaven. Here, in verse 2, it deals with thinking about heaven. We're seeking heaven, but thinking about heaven. And that's what that song that they sing, how deep love of Jesus. That's exactly what that song was talking about this morning as well. So it's telling us to think about heaven, verse 2 here. And it deals with the inner disposition of our life. See, God looks at the heart. You know, a couple weeks ago I said, you know, we look at faces, right? God looks at our heart. And we can't fool anyone. We can do a lot of talking, a lot of convincing, and things like that to other people, to one another. But see, God knows your heart. He wants us to be honest with Him. He wants us to be up front. He wants us to get on board with Him and serve Him. So, seeking with the heart is cultivating a desire for heaven, and thinking about heaven devises ways in which we can go after it. And God wants us to go after it with our heart. Now, a focused mind. He wants us to think about heaven, but a focused mind will ponder and yearn for heaven. We are called to give a large place in our thought of life to heaven. And that's why Paul is saying, think about it. You know, we seek heaven, but think about the things above. Where are you going to go one of these days? Heaven. Think about that. And what we are to do while we're still here, until we get to there, think about those things above. But while we're here on earth, we want to think about the things around us. But God says, think about those things far beyond earth. In Matthew 5:5, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So, seeking His righteousness, Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for all of us, thinking about that, thinking the things in heaven. Now, so, setting our minds on things above meant, it means concentrating on those things, on the eternal rather than the temporary, letting our thoughts dwell in the realm of Christ. Now, we are to focus on Jesus Christ. That is what Paul is saying. Thoughts can influence, our thoughts can influence our actions. Now, we can think about things, but it needs to influence our actions, which will motivate our hearts. So if Christians would place their thoughts above and not on earth, their actions, guess what? It would please God. It pleases Him when we think about that. So our mindset will determine our actions, our mindset. Now, we are called to see everything in light of eternity. And how can we do this? We must, what the Bible says, get rid of the distractions. There's a lot of distractions in our life that keep us, our minds or our thoughts, off of God. Now, Scripture always backs this up. I love reading Scripture, and I encourage you to read Scriptures when you hear about different things, how we can serve God and how we can be motivated and ward off any distractions in our life. And Philippians tells us, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell. See, dwell. Make it a purpose to look into this and live it out in your life. Whatever is true. It says, finally, brethren, and I beseech you, Paul is saying, brethren, Christian, brothers and sisters, that's what he's saying. So when we see, when we lose focus, sometimes we lose ground, don't we? Like the Three Stooges. You know, they did some crazy stuff, and I don't see how they accomplished anything in life, but they sometimes would lose ground. When players on a ball team go to a game with their minds not focused on the task at hand, they play poorly, don't they? We've all experienced that. So, when our minds are focused on heaven, we want to focus on heaven, our lives will reflect it. Our lives will show it. So we'll live out our faith, no heart, no passion, no sense of purpose, and no direction if we do not focus on heaven. Now, James, he tells us as well. James, he was straightforward. He told it like it is. And he said in chapter 4, verse 4, you unfaithful people, don't you know that love for this evil world is hatred towards God? Whoever wants to be a friend of this world is an enemy of God. Now, James wasn't being harsh. He was being practical. He was being straight up with his listeners then. Evidently, there was some kind of a problem, and James wanted to get their attention and get them to look to the things above, just like Paul was talking about. Thinking on things above, sometimes we think about too many circumstances and things around us that are distracting in our lives. And we become sometimes unfaithful, but God wants us to be faithful no matter what. See, it is really hard to keep the distractions to a minimum in this life. And we struggle a lot because our minds are not set on the things above and things of heaven. It is like driving down the road as you look at a ditch. And sometimes Brenda says, I'm guilty of that. I'm looking at the things around me. I like to look at the environment and my surroundings sometimes. But if you focus on the ditch too long, what happens? You may wind up in it. Exactly. Brenda tells me I drive better in hills and curves than I do on straight roads. But it's really hard to keep the distractions to a minimum. And we struggle a lot because our minds are not set on heaven. It is like, you know, I say, driving down the road and focusing on the wrong things. Now, when our mind is focused too much on the world, then we will end up living as the world does. So, if you want to grow and have an exciting faith, Paul says, set your things, your minds on the things above and not the things on earth. Now, our final emphasis here on getting in the game or being a team player with Jesus is staying focused on your team in verse 3 and 4. It is so important to remember whose team you're on. It's very important. It's like being in a game and you pass the ball off to somebody else that's not on your team, and then they score on you. Or something. Everything starts going wrong after that. And things won't go right if we don't stay focused on what God wants in our life. He wants us to focus on Him. If we focus on Him, everything will be much, much, much better. And verse 3 reminds us that we died with Jesus and our life is hidden in Him. I mean, our life is in Him. Think about that. That you once were drifting along. I was drifting along, you know, in our sins, not worrying about anything, thinking that everything was okay, till we realized that sin was an anchor. It was a barrier for us, and it separated us from the love of Jesus. But once we died to our sin, we were buried and raised in the likeness of Jesus' resurrection. We're celebrating in a few weeks. We are now walking in the newness of life. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "Even so consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus." And that's where we want to be. Our lives up and vibrant for Jesus. And someone who's dead, no worries. There's no stress, no love or hate. They're stone cold and emotionless and consider all things of this life. And that is someone who is dead. They have no worries, no stress, no love or hate because they're dead to this world. Now, this is our motive for getting into the game. Our life belongs to Him. And in Galatians chapter 2, and I love this verse as well. You might want to write it down. You might want to memorize this. Many, many people I talk to on a regular basis like this verse as well. And it says, "I have been crucified with Christ." And of all people, Paul has a right to say this because of his past life. He went about crucifying people, being mean to them, and so forth. When God set him straight and he surrendered his heart and his life to Jesus, he says, "Now I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live." See, he was trying to live for himself. Paul was. We try to live for ourselves sometimes. We want to do the things that we want to do, forgetting about what God has called us to do, to live for Him. And then in the same verse, "But Christ lives in me." He said, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." See, our life should reflect that. Our life should reflect that Christ Jesus lives in us. And you know what? He wants to live His life through us. And that's how we are able to serve Him much, much better. See, we can't serve God on the sidelines. It just doesn't happen that way. We must get into the game. Now, we have a wonderful promise from God. He reminded his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 19, when he says, after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will also live. Isn't that a great promise? It's a great promise. Christ says, even if I live, and as I live, you shall live. That's a great promise for each and every one of us. I'm glad that Jesus stated that the way he did. And I love verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed. See, Paul is, he's not second-guessing. He just said, if he's our life, but who is our life when he is revealed? And that's what it's all about. See, Jesus, who is our life. I hear a lot of people say, this person is my life. This person is my life. When it should be, Jesus is our life. See, when Jesus is our life will change. Our life will be more focused. Our life will be different. Our faith will have meaning, and our lives will have a purpose. That's what's important. See, when we focus on a team, we are all winners. You're going into the game. You're going into the game to win. And Jesus always has a winning team. And when we engage and get involved with him and have the attitude of serving all from down into the deep depths of our hearts, when we're all winners. We're all winners that way. And when we stay focused on the team, we will do things that we sometimes do not like because we know whose team we're on. And then, finally, you know, serving God is like serving others. Ty Cobb, American Major League Baseball player, great player. He played 3,033 straight games and for 12 years led the American League in batting averages. For 4 years, he batted over 400. He was perhaps the meanest and most unlikely man to ever play this sport. I don't know if you ever remember him. He played back in the early, before the 60s and so forth, 50s. But in July the 17th, 1961, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. You think about it. He was kind of like a Paul. Mean, renegade, just running about, doing things he wanted to do. He said, you tell the boys, I'm sorry, it was the last part of the night that I came to know Christ. I wish it had taken place in the first half of the first. He finally realized everything that he'd been doing in life. See, baseball was his life. But he was mean. He's ruthless and so forth. But then God got his attention. And this is what he wrote to tell his players, his team. I wished I had done it in the first half of the first, accepted Christ. You see, what he realized he'd missed out on all of his life. The things on earth, what he was focused on. He wasn't focusing on the things in heaven where he wanted to be, but wasn't going to be until he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. See, if you want to have an exciting life, exciting faith, get in the game of Jesus. You see, you need to get into the game. And we need to have a focused mission, a focused mind, and we need to to stay focused on the team we're on. And that's Jesus' team. See, if we can implement these things in our lives, we will have what, you know, we have been, what we've all been looking for all along. People will, they will see Jesus. Now, going back again, how many likes to sit on the sideline, just be a spectator? That's not where it is it? That's not where it is. We do like to be spectator in at ball games and things like that, but when you're in Jesus' on his team and playing for him, serving him, you know, we want just to get in the game with him. We don't want to be on Jesus' team. That's the only team that really will win every time, right? He's a winner every time. And when we focus on him, we'll be winners in our life. Read Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. Read these scriptures I put up here today. It will give you a different understanding of what Christ is wanting us to do in this life while we're here. Thinking on the things above, not on the things on earth. This is only temporal, where eternity is forever. We can't comprehend that. I'll be the first to say I can't fully comprehend that. But as Paul said, that, you know, putting all the things behind me, pressing forward, looking and hard and trying with everything within me to focus on things above. He says, to live is better for Christ. When we think about that, and when we really focus on that, it makes sense, doesn't it? Let us pray. Father God, we praise you this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you that you loved us so much that you're willing to die for our sins and give us eternal life. Lord, we pray for the moving of your Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. In order to do that, we do need to be focused. We focus on a lot of things. And our focus needs to be primarily always on you. And Lord, I know that there are many, many, many distractions in this world. There's many things that can cause us not to want to get in the game. Don't feel like we're worthy or capable. But Lord, you equip us. And whatever it is that distracts us, Lord, that's where our mind is. If we'll be like Paul, think on the things above. It redirects, helps us to, it tells us what's most important, especially to you. And you always want us to get on board with you and serve others. Lord, we just pray, whatever the calling is in each one of our lives here this morning, whether it's salvation or to get more involved, do something for you, then Lord, your Holy Spirit will reveal that to each one of us. Lord, help us to set our minds on the things above. Help us to really realize what's most important. And you give us that peace, that comfort, that we need in our life. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing Softly and Tender, Jesus Is Mine. Let us stand. I'll be here.